I hope everyone received at least one copy of the Missions magazine. This is one of the initiatives that we're doing this year. We have a missions team together. Shannon is editor-in-chief, I guess you'd call it. And she's done a fantastic job in putting together our first Missions Quarterly magazine. Every quarter we want to put together a small magazine that just refocuses us on missions globally, our missionaries, the needs that are out there, how we're doing, and refocus us back once again. Instead of once a year, we're going to be doing it regular. And I really appreciate it. So take advantage, read it thoroughly, gain the most you can from this. Another thing that we'll be doing in this coming year, we're planning to do a missions trip to China. We're going to take a small team, a team of maybe a dozen people, to go to China to experience life over there, to experience Christians, what the missionaries go through in China, how they have to work, how they do things. I'd like to ask Casey if he would come up at this time. Casey is the guy who's going to be planning the missions program and the missions trip. So Casey, tell us just a little bit about what we'll be doing.
Very quickly, next year is going to be an exciting year. In November, hopefully, the first half of November, we'll be going to China. You may ask, why first half of November?
Airfares are cheaper then. All right? No special reason, but it's cheaper then. So we are planning to go into China. We have yet to select a place. We are going to work very closely with OMF. They have actually recommended us two places. One is Chongqing in Sichuan, and the other one may be Xi'an, which is the ancient capital of China. The reason why we have picked China next year is because we want to be part of the great work that God is doing in China. China is on fire for the Lord now. So we are indeed looking to visiting the missionaries that is on site, okay, joining in as to what they're doing, be it teaching English or be it whatever they're doing, okay, sharing the gospel during the evenings. And it really depends on the makeup of our team. If one of you who are in our midst who is a doctor, okay, who wish to visit, okay, who wish to come along in a trip, the OMF will be arranging some things in the hospital for you. So we are looking forward to a team of 12 people who are able to go, and it's going to last for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Okay, so if you're able to just put aside 21 days of your life just to see how God is, what God wants to show you in the mission field, please pray about it now. And in the new year, we are going to be getting people to register. Why do we need to get people to register so early? Because that team needs to go into a time of prayer together. That team need to prepare themselves spiritually, all right, and maybe even physically, to see what life is going to be like in China as a missionary. So please pray with us, okay, and if God puts in your heart that you want to come for the trip, start praying for yourself. All right, cost. Are you guys interested in cost?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, cost, just a little bit. Okay, the ballpark figure is $3,000, New Zealand dollars. So for those of us who are keen on going, and we need to put this before the Lord as well. All right, where's the money going to come from? We're going to put it before the Lord. We're going to pray about it. So I'm going to give you a little bit more information later in the course of the year, but please start to pray for yourself. Okay, is God calling you to go on this short-term missions trip? Thank you.
Thank you, Casey. I'm curious, just by way of information, how many in this room have either you're from China and you've lived in China, or you've visited China at some stage in your life? How many have been to China itself? Wow. Okay, quite a good number. I've never been to China. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a fantastic eye-opening trip. And God has, in this church, put so many people from China and given us a burden for the people of China as well, to spread the word there, to, you know, work with the churches, to support all kinds of mission work in China that we can. So I'm looking forward to it. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray with us about it. Today, I want to speak to us about qualities of a great missions giving church. A great missions giving church. One thing that I have found is that whenever you make a commitment to something, your commitment is tested. And you're put through a test. Tested commitment. This past week, I was driving through town with Dr. Joseph Garikapati. You remember Dr. Garikapati, the man from India. He's not really a missionary, but he does missions work. He plants many churches in India. He's our missionary, and we support him. He is 81 years old. And he has a love and a passion for the Lord and for speaking to people about the gospel. Everywhere we go, he's wanting to share the gospel, Jesus Christ, with people. And I've appreciated his example. I've appreciated his fire that he has. And I hope you have too. I know he's hard to understand, amen? But man, he's doing fantastic in India where he's from. They don't have a problem understanding him. They don't have any problem. But I was driving with him the other day. Picked him up from the airport, and we were driving. And as we're driving along in my little orange car, this bus comes driving by us on the left side. And on the back of this bus is an advertisement, a big advertisement that I don't even know what it was advertising, but I do remember it was a picture of this woman that doesn't have any clothes on. It's a woman with no clothes on. You can't see anything really lewd, but it's suggestive, highly suggestive picture. And we're driving along, and you can't help but notice this picture on the left side of the car. And Dr. Joseph, 81-year-old godly man, he takes a look. Oh, brother. And he's like this. Oh, brother. He says, in India, that would not be allowed. The police would pull that man over and beat him severely. And so I said, yes, I understand. It's not that way here, you know. And so I speed the car up, and I try to get in front of the bus. There's traffic everywhere, and the bus comes back beside us again. Oh. And we're driving, and the bus turns its signal and wants to get in front of us. And so it pulls right in front of us. And so I give it more space, and I back up. And so there's space between us. No cars get in front of me. And then I see the bus turn into a turning lane. And it's the lane I must turn on. And so we get behind the bus. And there's a red light. And so we have to stop behind this bus. And we're trying to talk. And there's this huge picture in front of us. And after a little bit, I say, I'm sorry, brother. I have to turn this way too. And he starts laughing so hard, he says, oh, brother, the devil is out to get us today. The devil is out to get us today. He says, that's a devil woman. That's a devil woman. So we have an 81-year-old missionary and a senior pastor of the church, and we're trying to, you know, talk about things of God and, you know, missions work in India. And the whole time, you know, your conviction is going to be tested. Your conviction to live for the Lord is going to be tested. It is. It's out there all the time. We're going to be tested. Our commitment that we made to missions is going to be tested. If you take a look in our bulletins, you'll see regularly we publish our missions giving and how it stacks up. Well, in the back of this magazine is a list. There's a chart, I mean, missions finances. We had committed this coming year $4,800, $4,818 a month. The purple one is actual missions income. And for some reason, it doesn't match up to what our commitment was. What this tells me is that your commitment is tested. And sometimes we don't pass that test. We make a commitment to pledge to the Lord, pledge to the work of missions a certain amount. It's going to be tested. You must be prepared for that. You must understand that. Be ready for that. But I want to discuss some qualities today of a great missions giving church. Because I want us to be a great missions giving church. like I said at the very beginning of this church, 23 years ago, we were a missions-giving church. We didn't have a big missions program. We didn't have all the missionaries that we support today and the budget that we have today. But we did give. We gave and we gave. And the people gave sacrificially then as well. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 10, we'll begin at. Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Ask God to open our minds. Father in heaven, I want to be moved by you today. I want this church to be moved. I want this church to be a great missions-giving church. And yes, our commitments will be tested. Our commitments that we make to you will always be tested. And I pray that we will pass these tests, that we will remain strong in our conviction that the gospel must be spread throughout the world, that you've called us to be a part of missions in other places that we are not. You've called us to give, to send, to go. I pray that we will take up this call seriously. Put a passion in us today. Move and stir us today. Remind us of what you spoke to us about earlier in the year when we had our missions emphasis week. And I pray that we will renew today our commitments. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. I want to hear from you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is perhaps one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, right along with verse 13. What does verse 13 say? Verse 13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I learned that in the King James when I was a kid. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And a lot of people remember that verse. And that verse is well known, but I also believe it's very abused. Some people take that to mean whatever they want it to mean. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm looking for a better paying job. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I want more money. I can do all things. I want that new Porsche. I can do all things. Give me a bigger house. I can do, you know, and we become, you know, just a hype up, pump up. This is Bible verse covers everything. That's not what it means. Amen. That's not what it means. Paul says, I've had very little. I've been dirt poor. He says, I've had much. I've learned I can be content no matter what God puts me through. He says, I can do all things. In God's plan and God's will, whether it be poor, whether it be plenty, it doesn't matter. I'm content and I can go through it because God is with me. Verse 19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all your needs. Now, I got a question. We all have needs to be met this morning. You're here today, and I know you have needs. God can meet those needs. But my question is this. Is this promise for every believer? Is this promise for every church? Or for a particular kind of church, or a particular kind of believer? My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Take a look closer at verse 15 with me. Now remember, Paul is writing to this church in Philippi. He says, moreover, you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Not one church shared with this. But you guys had this burden on your heart. You had this passion inside. You gave because you saw the need for missions. You saw the need to share the gospel. You gave. And you gave again and again. And no other church did that. No other church did except you. I want to thank you. Now, according to this, I believe that this church could claim that promise of God, that God's going to meet your needs. God's going to meet your needs. God wants to bless you and fill your life with blessings, but He, more than that, He wants you to be a conduit through which His blessings will flow. Do you understand that? God is not interested just in blessing your life so that you get. He wants to bless your life because you're a conduit through which the blessings that He gives to you, you pour out and you bless others as well. That's what this church was doing. Paul was telling them, you guys are a great missions-giving church. And God's going to meet every one of your needs. God's going to continue to meet your needs so that you can continue to be a great missions-giving church. So that you can continue to pour out blessings and be a conduit through which His blessings are going to flow. Do you want God's blessings on your life? Do you want God's blessing on your families? I want that in my life. I want God's blessing on my family. But let me tell you, God wants you to be a conduit. He wants the blessings to flow through you. Last week, Brother Garakapati, he said, Brother Ken, I want to take your family out to dinner. Nice dinner. And I know that he has no idea really of the expenses here in New Zealand. He really doesn't. How much things cost. He doesn't have a lot of money. The money he's raising was for the work and for the building project over there. He doesn't have much money. He doesn't care much about the money. But he wanted to be a blessing. He took us out to dinner. And I was stressed. I wanted to help. He insisted, I want to pay for this. The dinner cost $120. That's expensive. I said, Brother, thank you so much. And he was so happy. His face was beaming just because he could do something for us. He wanted to do something for me. And I appreciated that so much. That very night, someone came by and visited. And they pulled out from their wallet and said, they gave it to me. They said, Pastor Ken, I want you to give this to Brother Garakapati for his work. $160. Just the same night. We came back home. An hour later, there was the money and plus interest. And I say to Jen, I say, Jen, here's an example to me of a godly man who is giving of whatever he may have, but he's a conduit through which God is going to bless. I want to be that conduit. I want to receive the blessings from God, but to be a blessing to people and to be a conduit through which missions continues throughout the world. I want to be that. I want my family to receive God's blessings. I want to be able to say, my God will meet all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, but not to consume upon myself, but to be a conduit to other people. Back then, when this letter was written, it was easy to know if a church was involved in missions giving, because there wasn't a lot of missions work. Paul was the main missionary going around at this time spreading the gospel. So either you supported that work or you didn't support the work. Either you were in missions or you were not in missions. God will meet the needs of those who are meeting needs. God will meet the needs of churches who are meeting other needs, who are meeting the needs of missions. And I believe that the more missions focused and the more missions giving we become, I believe that our church will prosper and be blessed greater. Amen. God has used us. We are missions minded. I believe there's room for improvement, but we are a missions-focused church. And I believe that the more missions-focused we become, the more God is blessing. God has been blessing our church. In the past couple of years, God has greatly blessed. Even in a financial sense, God has blessed us. But we've committed more to missions than we have before. We're more involved in missions than we were before. And so we cannot let up. We cannot decide, oh, we have other focus, other needs. We can't focus on missions right now because we have a building project. So let's just put that aside. Let's not spend money there when we could use the money here. We can't do that. We need to remain missions focused. So there's a few qualities I want to share. Number one is this. Great missions-giving churches have a concern for others. Take a look at verse 10 with me. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but have had no opportunity to show it. You and I are never going to give to missions if we don't have a concern for others. If we as a church do not have a concern for others, we will find ourselves overlooking every opportunity to show concern to others. Have you ever gone to a store, and on your way in the store, you see by the exit some kind of a booth, people who are requesting donations of some type. They're asking for money for some cause, for some organization. And you walk into the store, and now if it's an organization or a cause that you really don't have any concern about, you know, it's the organization for, you know, Basket Weavers Association, and please give generously. And it just really doesn't do anything for you. Often you go into the store, you buy your goods, and you come out and you walk by that booth like you never saw it. You know what I'm talking about? You just kind of walk by, I didn't see the booth. What happened? You were buying fruits and veggies and you went blind in the store all of a sudden, right? What happened? You had no concern. You had no concern for that cause. Amen? You really don't care for the Basket Weavers Association or whatever it may be. You really don't have that, share that same concern. There's always been Christians, and there's always been churches that do not have a concern for lost. Do not have that concern for the lost. Look at me again at verse 15. Paul tells them, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, When I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. So there were many churches that didn't seem to have that same concern. But this church shared a particular concern. They didn't overlook it. They didn't go blind to the needs. They had a concern, and that concern drove them to some action. That concern drove them to do something. What about Jesus? What is His greatest concern? We read in Luke 19, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Jesus' concern is to save lost people. Jesus' concern is the lost and dying people on their way to a Christless eternity in hell, on their way to an eternity that is totally separated from God in a place that was made for Satan and his angels. This is what Jesus' concern was. And as He looked out and He saw people, He saw concern. Jesus would get up on a mountaintop and look out over Jerusalem, and the tears would flow down His face. Why? Because of concern. Because as He looked down at the people, He saw they were lost. They needed a Savior. They were dying. The concern consumed Him. The concern drove Him to action. His concern for people drove Him to the cross. From time to time, we need a renewal in our concern for lost. The best place to start that renewal is by getting involved in missions. Getting involved in missions. Are you involved in missions? Those of you who are involved, have you been faithful to missions? Take a look at number two. So first of all, great missions-giving churches have a concern for others. But second, great missions-giving churches find their contentment in the Lord. Verse 11, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Have you found contentment? Can you say in every situation I've been in every situation I am in, no matter what may come, I've learned contentment in Jesus Christ? Whatever situation He has me in, whether it's plenty or whether it's nothing, I can learn to be content. I have learned this. When it comes to supporting missions, it's not an issue of need, it's an issue of contentment. Why have many Christians never given to the cause of missions? I believe it's because they have not learned the secret of contentment. Contentment is never about what's happening around us. Contentment takes place inside here. Contentment isn't dependent upon circumstances. You have plenty of money, you have plenty of food, a nice place to live, I'm content. Anybody could be content with that, amen? Anybody can be content, but contentment isn't based upon what's around us. Contentment takes place inside here. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength, He says. I want to remind us of something too when it comes to having plenty or having little. In this church, we're not all rich. We're not all very wealthy people. Some may have more than others, I know that. But I want to tell you, even the poorest people in this country are wealthy by many standards in the rest of the world. We have plenty. We have plenty. Put a smile on my face as we drove through some of the poorest parts of Auckland with Brother Joseph, and he says, "This is your poor people. They would be wealthy people in India. very wealthy where he's from. They would be rich men. And yet we say we're suffering when we can't afford Sky TV, you know. We're suffering for the Lord. I can't have my Sky TV. What is it that brings your contentment? Is it based on things around you? If it is based on things around you, your circumstance, you'll never be content. You'll never find contentment that way. It must start inside. And you come to that place in your life when you can say, if I have a lot, if I have a little, I've learned to be content where I am in Christ. I've learned the secret of contentment. Number three is this: great missions giving churches stay committed to the cause of Christ. They stay committed. Verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent aid again and again when I was in need. Great missions giving churches stay committed to the cause of Christ. When is the best time to start giving to missions? When is the best time to begin giving to missions? I believe the best time is in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, like they did. This verse to me implies that the longer a Christian waits, the less likely they are to get involved in the area of missions. He says, even in the early days, when you were brand new Christians, when you just received the gospel and it was exciting in your life, and it was a spark, and there was a fire inside, and it was bubbling over, and you were just bursting to share it with the people around you, you started giving to missions in those early days. And yet we see Christians who are not challenged in the area of missions. They've never given. They've never learned this, the secret of contentment. They've never given to missions in their life. And perhaps they have an attitude, when I'm able to, I'll start giving to missions. When I don't have any needs in my own life, I'll start giving to missions. When is that going to happen? When do we put aside and find contentment no matter where we are? When do you have no needs in your life? I keep waiting for that time myself. It was hard when me and Jennifer got married. We had no money. No money. We had nothing. And it was a difficult time. We were in school still. It was a difficult time. We had no money. Was that the time to start giving to missions? Well, we have many needs. I had to pay for my school bill. We had to just pay to live and eat. Difficult. We move. We start having children. Children are expensive. Amen? My wife loved children so much she had four of them. Against my knowledge. So we have four kids. When can we start giving to missions? Well, we got so much to pay for. Now we got schooling. Before too long, they're going to start wanting to drive. And we're going to have to get them through university. And that's expensive. And then there's going to be other issues that creep up. We got to help with this, help with that. We don't have money for missions. So when is the time to give to missions? When you've become acquainted with the gospel and when the fire of God is in there and you have a different outlook, you've learned the secret of contentment. No matter what state you're in, to be content. And there is no perfect time to begin giving to missions except for right now. And so for you new Christians, and there's a number of you in here, I urge you today to make a commitment in your heart that I am going to begin giving to the cause of missions. I don't care how old you are or how much money you make. I don't care. That's not the important thing. And for some of you, you may be struggling just to put food on the table. But I want to encourage you to give to missions. Give to missions and be that conduit through which God's blessings can flow. Be that conduit. Start off small. Don't be silly and say, well, I'm going to give half my income to missions when you're having a hard time feeding. Test the Lord first. Start off small. And don't grow weary. Stay committed. Great missions giving churches, stay committed. These commitments that we've made, and we're making new ones, and we got 3 new missions projects in China that we've begun supporting since the missions conference. One is OMF, missionaries. The other one is a gospel broadcast, a radio broadcast. And there's another one that's a Bible training school in the southern part of India, or China. And they train preachers. They train ministers. And these missions projects that we have taken on, we need to be faithful. We can't give up. We can't let up. Great missions giving churches stay committed to the cause of Christ. Most of my life, my dad was a missionary on mission status. He had a number of churches from the United States that supported him. Some of those churches, I remember he got some support very early in the 70s, and some of those churches took him on at $20 or $25 a month. $20 or $25. In the 70s, that's okay. But in 1998, there was still $20 or $25, some of those churches. There's a problem there. We don't want to do that. Amen? Stay committed. Stay committed to the cause. Stay committed to giving to missions. The best time is now. Number 4. Great missions giving churches have credit with the Lord. Have credit with the Lord. Look at verse 17 again. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches. Churches that have credit with the Lord are churches that participate in missions. I want credit with the Lord. We have credit with the Lord for these people in India that are being saved and these churches that are established. We support Brother Gary Kapati. We support GFA missionaries. We have 3 that we support monthly. And there are people getting saved all the time over in India. And I've never seen them before. I've never shaken their hands and welcomed them in the family of God. But they're there. And this verse says that because of our giving, like the Philippians gave to Paul, and Paul was preaching the word and building churches and building God's kingdom, it was credited to their account. And because of our mission's involvement, the souls that are saved in India are credited to our account. And one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see many people that are there partly because of what we were able to give and to do for the area, for the cause of missions. We're going to see people from China, people that we've never met before, from places that I've never been before. But they're going to be in heaven with us because of the credit that we have with the Lord, because of our giving to the cause of missions there. There's going to be people in Africa because we support missions in Africa. I've never met these guys, but they're going to be in heaven too. And there's going to be people from all over the world that are in heaven and that will be worshiping with us in whatever language that we're going to be speaking together in heaven, which is probably English. whatever language we're going to be speaking, we're going to be worshiping the Lord together with these people. And we had a part in bringing them there. We had a part in it. That's what this verse is telling us. He says, it's not that I just want your money, but I also want you to have credit with the Lord in what has been going on in these other areas that you haven't even been to. I want this to be credited to your account. Every one of us here has an account with God. Every church has an account with God. And we get credit for these things. We get credit for this fragrant offering. A fragrant offering. That is when we give to the Lord and we give cheerfully from our hearts. We are contented, but yet we want to give to the Lord, even above and beyond just the requirements, but above and beyond just what we have left over in our pockets, you know, on a given Sunday. But it's a fragrant offering to Him when He sees us giving sacrificially from our hearts to Him. Fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice that is pleasing to God. Number five, and we'll close with this, great missions-giving churches exist to see God glorified. Verse 20 simply ends with, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. How do we bring glory to God? In Matthew 5, we see that we bring glory to God by being salt and light in the world. I believe the salt is about who we are. It's our character. It is what the world sees in our lives. And they see something different because we are different. We're not of this world. We're new creations. This is not our home. We're passing through. The most important thing that we have to work on is this character. Verse 13 of Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So salt, the salt is this character that we display. But the second thing is this light. And this light is more about what we do for the cause of Christ. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, the things that you do, and praise your Father in heaven. So of all the good things that we must do, I believe reaching out to the lost is indeed right up there. One of the most important things, one of the most important deeds that is pleasing to the Lord is when we reach out to the lost and we bring more into His kingdom. And we do that through missions and we do that through personal witness. So my question again to you, are you involved in missions? Ask yourself these five questions. Do I have this concern for others? Do I find my contentment in the Lord? Am I content in Him? Do I demonstrate a commitment to missions, staying committed to missions, or am I up and down in my commitment? Do I have credit with the Lord? And do I exist to glorify God? Will you please stand with me together? Please close your eyes. I want to ask a question. When we're talking about missions, we're talking about commitment to missions. How many in this place, in this room, have people that they care about, that they love, that don't know Christ? Can you think of someone? They don't know Christ. And I'm going to ask God to bring this to your mind. I'm going to ask God to place this on your heart. Because I believe we all should know people who don't know Christ. And I hope that that just wrecks your heart. I hope it just bothers you. This is where mission starts. Starts with us, starts with where you are, starts with the people around you. Once again, if you're here and God has placed someone on your heart that doesn't know the Lord, and it bothers you, you want God to reach them, you want God to save them, you want to commit yourself to keeping them before the Lord, keeping them in prayers, asking God for every opportunity to witness to them. If that's you, just lift your hand up where you are. I have someone in my life that I know that I want to come to know the Lord. There's someone in my life I want to come to know the Lord. Pray in your heart with me. Father in heaven, I pray that you would keep this burden of missions alive in my heart. But it will begin in my own life with having a burden for people, having a concern for people. And Lord, these that have raised their hands with me, there's people in their life and on their heart right now that they know do not know you as their Lord, as their Savior. They don't know you yet. Father, I pray that you would keep this burden alive in them, that you, Lord, would provide every opportunity that they can be a witness, be that salt, be that light to these that they care for, that they love. And I pray that you would be pleased, Lord, to bring them into your family, into the kingdom of God, and use these who have their hands raised, that they, Lord, would be that witness, that salt, that light. Have that concern. Father, put a burden in us for the lost. Lord, I pray that you would save these loved ones. Now, Father, don't let this fire go out that we have for missions. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you another question with every eye closed. Maybe you're here and you've never been involved in missions. You've never given to missions. I want to encourage you to make a commitment right now. Make a commitment in your heart that you're going to be committed and stay committed and involved in the work of missions. I'm not asking you to go on the missions trip. I'm asking you to start with one commitment. One commitment to give so that others can go. I'm not telling you how much. Let God tell you how much. If God's blessed you with much, give much. If God's only given you little, give what you can. But be involved in missions. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, I've not been involved, but today I want to commit, I want to be involved from now on in this cause of missions in this church. I've not been involved, but starting today, would you slip your hand up? Starting today, I am going to be committed and involved. Is that you? Amen. Any other? Today, I'm going to be committed to the cause of missions. Amen. I've not participated, but I believe God would have me to be committed and involved in the work of missions. Any others? Father, now I just want to lift up these and I pray for those, Lord. I pray for those who have not been involved, Lord. That, Lord, they would see your heart, that they would have this concern, share this concern with us. That they would be committed to the cause of missions and stay committed. Lord, keep this alive in them in Jesus' name.